I want to read a story that Jesus told many, many years ago, and it's to be found in the Gospel of Luke, and this is what Jesus said. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But when they all alike began to make excuses, they did, and the first said, "I just bought a field and I must needs go and see it. Excuse me." And another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." And another said, "I've just got married and I cannot come." And the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but still there is room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." What a wonderful story it is that Jesus told. And tonight we've heard a wonderful story, and a story that has stretched our minds. And maybe when you think of fast jet riding, it scared us a little bit. I love flying, but a little of what we've heard tonight just excites the imagination and brings a little fear, a little fear, into one's mind and heart. So I love stories, and I love the stories that Jesus told. And I like this story in particular about a man who was well off, obviously, and he prepared a great meal to invite people to come to the meal. And you would not believe this, but when I came to Northern Ireland 40 or 44 years ago, I was a 10 and a half stone weakling. You wouldn't believe that, would you? Because I'm no longer a 10 and a half stone weakling. Being killed with a knife and fork over the many, many years that I've been here. That's my excuse anyway. So to read about a banquet and a supper is something that would normally set my mind racing there. And this particular story is fascinating because on the one hand, you have a picture of the greatness of God. And that picture Jesus spells out in no uncertain terms of how great God is. And yet, on the other hand, you've got the foolishness of man. That although everything's prepared and the invitation goes out, there's so many individuals that make excuses and say, "I just can't come." They give what seems to them valid reasons as to why they shouldn't respond. And so they don't come. And so the master says, "Right, those that have been invited, they're not going to come. So go beyond their remit, beyond their particular space, and invite any who will come." And so others come, and they enjoy the meal. And as I've said, there are two prime thoughts in the story. Number one, the greatness of God, and number two, the foolishness of man. Because God's gospel, God's good news, is very similar and brings to us pictures of what God has done for us. I mean, when we read this story there, we discover that about the greatness of the preparation, so many people involved in preparing for the banquet. The man could have done it himself, but he got others involved in asking folk to come. The greatness of the preparation there. And then there was the greatness of the provision there. You know, it wasn't just a drop of tea. It wasn't just a sandwich and a scone. It was a great meal. And so the preparation there and the provision there was amazing. And then the proclamation is fantastic, you know, because the master of the house has come for everything's ready. All is prepared for you. And I want you to come. And those are the words that I want us to think about tonight, particularly come. For everything is now ready. But you may say to me, "Well, Val, we've heard Ian. We are amazed by what he said and been challenged by what he said. But what is it about the Christian gospel that I should respond to God tonight, as Ian did those many, many years ago. And I would basically say three things. What is it that God has provided for us? What is it that he has prepared for us? What is it that he wants us to proclaim and share? Number one, God wants to bring forgiveness for the past. Forgiveness for the past. Now, my testimony is completely different from Ian's testimony. Next week, there'll be someone else along from a different culture who will have a testimony different again. And then our third night, there's a good friend of mine who's from a Roman Catholic culture and how she came into contact with Jesus. And the last night, I'll be sharing my testimony of how I came from an atheistic background. And so each particular story is different. And yet the Bible makes it very clear, you know, that by nature, we've got a problem spiritually, and that problem is called sin. Many definitions of sin in the Bible, but one of the definitions is missing the mark. Let me explain or share with you what I mean by that. When I was at school, I went to an all-boys school. I didn't know what a girl was until I was 17. So I went to an all-boys school, and I was reasonable at English. With a name like English, I should have been reasonable at English. But I was abominable at mathematics. Absolutely dreadful. And I remember on one occasion, you know, at the end of term, when you have these horrendous end of term exams, which are necessary, but can be very, very taxing, as some of the young folk know. I did all the papers, and the two papers for English and mathematics were the two key papers. Went along to have a look at the English mark, and the pass mark was 45, and with great expectancy and enthusiasm, well, because it was English and most of the time spoke reasonable English, though coming from the northeast of England, I looked at my mark and it was 44. I went to my maths mark and I looked at that, and that cheered me even more than the English mark did, because it was 7%. Now, I was delighted about that because the previous exam was 5%, so I knew enough about maths to know that I was heading in the right direction. I remember going back to the English teacher, saying, "Excuse me, miss, but I think that you weren't fair on me with regard to my English marks." I gave a number of reasons why. And she looked across at me with a stare that have melted the hardest of hearts and said, "English, you didn't get the pass mark, you failed, that's it." Turned her back on me and went. Never forget that. 44%. Never made it. Now, God's definition of sin, or one of them, is missing the mark. I know that in my own individual life, those many years ago, you know, from not just from a mathematical point of view, but from a personal point of view, I miss God's mark an awful lot. I was a real 7%er. And I know that there are some folk that say, "Well, look, I'm not too bad. I go to church when I can for Hatcham, Matcham, or Dispatcham, or whatever the case might be there, you know. I'm not too bad." But God says, everyone on planet Earth misses the mark. For God, you see, has a pass mark. And do you know what it is? For entrance into the kingdom of heaven, it is 100%. And no one on planet Earth, since the history of man, only one, no one else, has lived that perfect life. And in our gathering tonight, you know, whoever we are, we've got a spiritual problem called sin. We miss God's mark. We may be church attenders, we may come irregularly, maybe here for first time for a long time. Doesn't matter, we miss God's mark. And yet the God of the Bible says that if you realize that you're missing the mark, whether you're a 7%er or a 44%er or larger than that, I want to forgive you for the past. And the reason why I can forgive you, says God, is because My son, Jesus, on the cross, died to save you from your sin. He died that all the things that you thought and did and all that you were within the internal being of your heart that's wrong, he came to forgive you. And that, to my mind, is a mind-blowing exercise. That God, in his wonderful provision, has made it possible in this banquet to forgive the past. And here we are tonight. We've heard Ian's story. We've heard of the many weaknesses that he experienced and the psychological and emotional impact of all that. But we know within ourselves that we've missed the mark. Therefore, when our turn comes to slip anchor from planet Earth, because we missed the mark, there's no hope of heaven or whatever, as someone has said, whatever's beyond this. But God wants to forgive the past. And to be honest with you tonight, folks, and I wouldn't want to be any other way, when I think of 17, a young kid in the northeast of England and what he was involved in, and how God forgave my sin. Oh, it's way beyond me. And yet he does. So that when we say, God, I'm sorry for the life that I've lived, good, bad, or indifferent, and I thank you that on the cross you died for me. But there's not just forgiveness for the past, but there's hope for the future. Oh, we seem to live in a hopeless world, don't we? We seem to live on planet Earth, and again, this is a big week in America. We all know with the elections coming up there, and maybe we've been bombarded and sickened by it all, but what's going to happen this week, who knows? Not just what's happening in the States, but how it's going to impact our world, the decision, in a few days' time. It's a crazy world that we live in. Is there any hope anywhere? Not only in the world scene, but you look at the church scene and you think to yourself, my, what's going on in church? There was a man in the northeast of England who said to me on one occasion, not long after I became a Christian myself, he said, Val, I will not go to the church that you go to. I said, why? He said, half of those people are hypocrites. That man was my father. I took his point. I was very young in those days in the faith. But I said, you know, if I came across a counterfeit £5 note and I had a real £5 note, would I throw the real £5 notes away or burn them? Not at all. Because we've got the real, you've got the counterfeit. But sometimes we look at the church scene and we don't see much hope at times. And yet God says, whatever the world scene is and whatever the church scene is, I want to give you hope. I want to assure you that when that day comes, when you will leave planet Earth, that there is a destiny called heaven, or there's a place called hell. And the hope is this, that for all those that trust Jesus, a Savior and friend, Lord and King, there's an assured heaven. And as I read the good book, I discover that God is not willing that any should perish and go to hell, but that all should come to repentance and faith. And that encourages me to share the fact that Jesus, in his wonderful provision in the banquet, gives us hope. Was there much hope for Ian in his early days? Even as he looked back upon his life and the way that pre-becoming a Christian, when he became a Christian, how God was preparing him for something. Didn't know it then, but looking back, He sees the plan of God. And in your life, God's got a plan and purpose. God wants to bring hope. It's all part of his provision. And so there's forgiveness for the past and there's hope for the future. But this is a great thing. There's peace in the present. There's joy in the present. Our theme during the month is called the missing piece. It's not only the missing jigsaw piece, but of course it's the peace of the heart, joy and peace. Can I tell you candidly tonight, folks, that I'm not a Christian because I just want to go to heaven and don't want to go to hell. That's part of the message, of course. But I'm a Christian because it's the best life now. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be here. But I believe that when a person, whoever we are, whatever our age, whatever our background, discovers that within their lives there's a missing piece, however we translate the word there, and that somewhere we've not found it, church doesn't give it, good living doesn't give it, doing our best doesn't give it, being good to our neighbor doesn't give it, all those things are good and important. But the answer is what Ian was saying.